How's it working for you so far? You see, that's the issue. And so the Bible says very clearly in Revelation that Jesus is standing on the at the door and knocking, but you have to open the door. You have to say, come into my life, Lord. Come in and rearrange anything you want to rearrange. So we've been talking about part of our soul is what we believe about the world, what we believe about God, what we believe about ourselves. And we've been talking about lately, very few people know themselves. The only one that really knows you is God. Because he can see in the inward parts. And he knows us perfectly. And therefore knows what we need. So we've been talking about several things as a part of our soul. And we did talk about our worldview, our what we think about life. We've talked about that. We've talked about our attitude. How many know that it makes a difference about your attitude? There are some people that got up this morning and say, you know, I just didn't even want to get up this morning. There's nothing good about this. The sun's not out. This happened to me this last week, and things are just terrible, and they're probably going to get worse. Guess what that'll do for you? They will get worse. Because the Bible says that what we speak out of our mouth will happen in our life. And you know something very interesting? Words never disappear. Because God has so ordained that the words that come out of his mouth are eternal. And guess what? The words that come out of our mouth are eternal. So it's extremely important what we say about life, what we say about our families, what we say about God, what we say about ourselves, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so it makes a tremendous amount of difference what you said when you got up this morning. It also made a difference this morning what you listened to on the radio or TV or whatever you had on, if you had anything on. It made a difference what you put into your life, because what you heard went into your ears, down into your heart, and became seeds for the day. So we've been talking about this, and God is serious enough about loving you into eternity, that what you say and what you hear is extremely important. It will change your life. So it makes a difference about your attitude. We talked about it last time. You ever known anybody you just didn't want to be around them because they had a lousy attitude? Nobody here, of course. But it does make a difference. I can remember back in my younger days, if I had continued in what I was saying and my attitude, I wouldn't be standing here today. Because the only thing that changed my life was Christ. He changed my mouth, he changed my thinking, he changed what I take into my life, what I allow to be in my life. He changed it all, because there was a point where I said, God, it's not working, I can't do this, I need you. That was after I got saved. I said, that was after I got saved. You see. Being saved is just the beginning. It's just the beginning of the process that God wants to work in your life and my life, because in heaven and in the kingdom to come, God has a place for you, but you have to grow into that. And you're either going to grow into it now or you're going to grow into it later. But you will lose something. We talked about, everybody talks about the prodigal son and how wonderful it was that even though he went out and blew his inheritance, he came back and the father received him, and it was just a wonderful time. But let me tell you something. He never got his inheritance back. There's nowhere in the Bible that said he got his inheritance back. But he developed a great relationship with the Father. And that was wonderful. You see. And that was good. But he did lose something. And the longer we go without letting Christ begin to develop in our life what he wants to develop, because he has an eye on eternity, because he's eternal. Our body's temporary, but we're eternal. And so God is preparing us, if we will get our attitude right and we'll start believing the right things about what's going on into the world. We know the world in general is going to hell, but God's people have a great inheritance if we listen to him and do what he says in this life, you see. And so it is important about our attitude. It is important about what we believe. It is important. It should be important enough that what you believe about life after death will influence your life now. Today I want to talk about another part of your soul, and that's called what motivates you in life. What motivates you to get up? What motivates you to get excited about getting ready for the day? What motivates you about making plans for the future? You know, it's really interesting. You can believe in Christ. You can know all the information. You can believe in a value, his value system. You can believe and have the right attitude, but you can let fear run your life. And the Bible said one of two things is going to motivate you every single day of your life. One of two. Either love or fear. One of those two is going to motivate you in everything that you do. And so it's important, this issue of what motivates you in life. You see, you can worry about the future, you can worry about the past, you can worry about your mistakes, you can worry about your family, you can worry about your health, you can worry about 50 different things that can drag you down in life, and it will eventually damage your soul. I didn't say you'd go to hell, I said it would damage your soul. So, we have to focus on eternal values. We have to focus on what the Lord thinks. We have to focus on the Word of God, which tells us that he loves us with a perfect love, and that should be our motivation in life. God said, this ought to be your motivation. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your what? Your neighbor as yourself. That should be your motivation in this life. That should motivate us. Now, the opposite of that is fear and being afraid of everything and holding on to everything and keeping everything in and staying away from things because you worry about everything. And some people do that. They worry about what somebody thinks about them instead of what God thinks, which is the most important thing. Do you actually know that God built us to run by love and not by fear? We were developed and made to operate in love. So anything outside of love is outside of the plan of God for your life. If you go to the doctor, I'll guarantee you he'll give you something to fear. I'll guarantee it. Oh, you better be careful with this because this might develop into this and that'll develop into something else. And then you're going to be in big trouble down the road. And you better take out nursing home insurance. And I guarantee if you worry about it and concentrate on it long enough, that's probably what'll happen. It probably will. Whether it happens to me or not, I'm not looking at that. I'm focusing on going up with Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the focus of my life. You see, I don't want to be the one in the nursing home. I want to visit the ones in the nursing home and tell them about Jesus. You see, it's all about attitude. You see. And you can believe all the negative stuff you want, or you can just run around the house shouting, Jesus is my Lord. You take your choice. You see. So God built us to operate on love. He built our soul to operate on love. And anything else is a distortion of the things of God. And so it not only says God is love, He created everything to operate on love. And when you get into the kingdom of God, it's going to be love. No fear. It's going to be love. God made us not only to love, but to focus on loving Him and helping other people. Is that your life? Now, some people are loving Him, but so self-centered that love just stays in them and kind of spoils inside of them because they don't give it out to somebody else. We were born to love. That's why we're here. We're not here for any other reason but to love God and to love other people. So, you focus on the Lord. You focus on loving other people. You focus on all of these things. You make a point to be around people. You don't avoid people. You make a point to be around people. That's one of the reasons God was smart enough to have us meet every Sunday. So we have to interact with people. We have to love people. How are you going to love people if you're not around people? I mean, it's not complicated. And so God allows you, and if we can get all of this attention off of ourselves and onto what can we do for somebody else, then it'll change your life. Enjoy the good things in people. You can always find bad things. I'd probably find a couple of bad things. There's always somebody. I mean, you could come to church and have enough to gossip about for a week. If that's what you wanted to do in your life. Or you can come and say, boy, that was wonderful. That person just did a great thing. That is just so wonderful. The music was great, this was good, and you just start thinking about the good things and concentrating on those good things. Pray about the things that maybe need to be fixed, whether it's in you or somebody else. There's nothing wrong with that. And you want to focus on the Lord, focus on His people, ask God to fill you with His love and His purpose in life. Now, this is very important. Ask God to fill you with His love and His purpose in life. God never asked you to love people with your love. He asked you to love people with His love. In fact, God said, I just want to pour myself into you so you can pour yourself into somebody else. That's exactly what the Christian life is, you see. And He didn't say you have to conjure up some kind of love whether you feel like it or not. No, you want to be a vessel to be used by God. He pours His love into you out to other people. That's what it's all about. That's why when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within your spirit so that you will receive from the Spirit to your soul out through your body to other people. And that's exactly what this whole thing's all about. It's not complicated. And we want to let His love motivate us until He comes. You see, in every situation. I want you to look in John chapter 13 and verse 34. John 13 and verse 34. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures here. But I think a lot of times we read the scriptures and we don't apply them. We don't apply that to us. John 13, 34, and that says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." It doesn't say there, everybody's going to know you're a disciple if you criticize everybody else. Doesn't say that. What it says, "I'm giving you a new commandment," and this is why it was a new commandment, because it would appear in the Old Testament God could come in somebody's life and leave them. I'm talking about His Spirit. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, so now we have the love of God in us, so it is possible for us to love other people. And so that's why He called it a new commandment, because He said, "I'm in you, now allow it to come out of you and go to other people." Now, just to refresh your memory, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And how many believe that God says what He means and means what He says? How many believe that? All right, let's see what He says here, because you've read it 100 times if you read your Bible. Chapter 13, verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I've become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and dance in the Spirit and shout hallelujah and all knowledge," I added a couple things, "and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing." That's pretty clear. I am nothing. It's what God says. Then He goes on, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it doesn't profit me one little thing." You can give millions to the church, it wouldn't profit anything if you didn't love. You see. You go in the hospital, you see this room was dedicated by so-and-so, and they gave the money to furnish this room. Well, that's wonderful. But if they didn't do it because they loved people more than themselves, it doesn't mean anything according to the Scriptures. It might mean something to man. It might mean something to you now, but it won't mean anything later. And it goes on about love. But that's the main issue. And so what is to motivate us? You know, Joyce Meyer, if you ever listened to her, she said, everybody's always thinking, "What about me? What about me? What about me?" That's not love. Now, we are to love ourselves. The Bible says that. It says, "Love your neighbors yourself." You're a creation of God. You should love yourself, take care of yourself, and so forth. But not, my goodness, live within yourself so that you're not touching it somebody else in love or somebody else in a blessing, and so on. Now, that should be our motivation. Now, I want to talk about something else, another part of your soul. Now, this is a part of the soul that I think very few Christians use right. And I'm just beginning, to be honest with you, to understand it all myself, and I don't understand it all. But this is very interesting to me. And that is, part of your soul is called the reasoning and imagination of your soul. The reasoning and imagination of your soul. Now somebody said, oh, you got to be, whoa, wait a minute, you got to be careful about this imagination. I mean, you can get all messed up, you know. I have news for you. You use your imagination hundreds of times a week. Hundreds of times a week you use your imagination. The imagination, I think, is kind of like a picture taking of your soul. It's the artistic part of your soul. It's the part of your soul that God uses to create things. Every one of us have one, whether we use it properly or not, or whether we use it, but the main thing, of course, what we're talking about is using it for the soul. You ever talk to somebody and they're not paying too much attention to you, and finally they say, oh, my mind was a million miles away. You ever hear that? That's your imagination. Your imagination was someplace you weren't. Isn't that interesting? You have a part of you that can go somewhere you're not. Now the point I want you to learn here today is you can use this for good. You see. Because anything you don't use for good for God in your life, the devil will steal it. Are you listening? That's why we have to be aggressive in this thing called salvation. Paul said, work out your own salvation. What was he talking about? You're saved by works? No. You get saved, and then you work it out in your life. Your soul, your mind, your emotions, your will, every part of you. We all use our imagination. Yeah, you go to the doctor, and the doctor said, okay, you got cancer, you're going to die. Well, your imagination all of a sudden sees a grave site with you buried in it or something. You know. And you can, and that, whatever you want to call it, thinking of the soul, whatever, that will direct the rest of your life. Good or bad. Now, your imagination can put you in places where you are not. I'm going to explain that because several people in the Bible did that. And we're not talking about soul travel here. We're not talking about that kind of stuff. We're not talking about Eckankar. We're not talking about any of that cultish stuff. We're talking about what everybody does practically on an everyday basis. But what I'm talking about, we want to use that for God. It should make a difference in your life. Now, there's a wrong kind, a wrong way of using your imagination. You can be totally be thinking about yourself all the time and imagining yourself in this and imagining yourself in something else and unscriptural things. And just daydreaming about nothing. Or you can watch a movie, a horror movie, and your imagination can put you right in the middle of it, and you can have the same fear that the people have in the movie where this is going on. That's using your imagination to place you into that scene. And we do that kind of stuff all the time. So that's why you have to be careful what you watch. Somebody said the other day, you have to be careful what you... Even the commercials that your kids watch. Are you listening to me? Because it will begin to work in their imagination. You see. You do the same thing. You know, somebody's dangling out of an airplane and it's about, 2 miles down, and sudden fear grips you and you see yourself. You place yourself in that person's place and you're going through the same emotions and all this kind of stuff. And that's what your imagination does. It puts you in that situation. You're not even in it, but it puts you in that. So you can have the wrong kind. So you got to be very careful, even watching the news, because you can imagine yourself in that earthquake with nothing being destroyed, and hopelessness comes in, and fear can come in, and it will affect your life if you watch some of these programs where they just keep showing it over and over and over and over again. Devastation, whatever. You can place yourself in that and have the same fear, the same kind of thing go on into your life. Now, there's a right kind of using your imagination. Now, listen to me carefully, because you need to know this, because all of us operate in this all the time, and you need to control what you're imagining. Some people say, well, I just couldn't control it. I started imagining this, and I imagined myself eating a hot fudge sundae, and I had to go out and buy one. You know what I'm saying? Your imagination can direct your life. You can imagine a lot of other things. You can imagine having an affair with somebody, and you can put yourself in that situation. You can draw a whole picture of it in your mind, and you can fill your mind with that stuff, and it'll raise up all kinds of lust and all kinds of things that aren't good for your life. And people can do that. And if you concentrate your imagination on negative things, you'll eventually become negative. That's the way God made us. Our imagination is supposed to be imagining the things of God. How about imagining being in front of the throne of God, hallelujah, with the angels and the glory of God and the blessing of God and the presence of God and all of it surrounding you, and you're engulfed in it, and you say, thank you, Lord, hallelujah. You see, that's what our imagination's for. Let me tell you some other things. I'm not done. Here's something a guy named Oswald Chambers, whoever heard of him. Okay, here's what he said. Is your imagination stayed on God, or is it starved for God? The starvation of the imagination is one of the most fruitful sources of exhaustion and sapping your strength that there is. You can imagine a bunch of things that just wipes you out. You see. And so he goes on. He said, if you have never used your imagination to put yourself before God, begin to do it now. It is no use waiting for God to come. That is so important. Everybody just waits for God to come. Don't wait for him. Go for it. Run to that door and open it and say, come in, God. You see, we're going to wait for God to move, you know. Well, I'm not saying that's all bad, but I'm just saying we are to take the initiative with God. You know, in that prodigal son thing, the father ran to the son. How about running to the father? You see, if you really understand God, you would run to him even when you're in trouble. You wouldn't wait. You would run. And he says, so, if you never have used your imagination to put yourself before God, begin to do it now. It's no use waiting for God to come. You must put your imagination away from the face of idols and other things and look unto him and be saved. Imagination is the greatest gift God has given us other than His Son. I don't think we have a clue as to how much our imagination affects our life. You can get in your car and you can imagine having an accident, you know, before you get to where you're going. Because you see them all the time on TV. You see them in the movies. You see them every place. You can fill your imagination with that stuff. Or you can get in your car and say, God, thank you for putting your angels around this car. Lord, help me, save me from having an accident or hurting anybody else. And Lord, I'm going to enjoy this trip because I know your angels are with me. Hallelujah. And I'm imagining these angels around me and around my car. And I'm not going to have an accident. I'm going to get where I'm going in Jesus' name. Are you listening to me? Or you can get into, oh, be careful now. You know what happened? There was a big accident down the road here yesterday. And man, it was terrible. And all this kind of stuff. What are you going to put your imagination on? If you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
Now, it says, keep your imagination from the face of idols. Look unto Him, that's Christ, and be saved. Imagination is the greatest gift God has given us, and it ought to be devoted entirely to Him. You see. Now, picture yourself in His presence. Worship, conversation with the Lord, just enjoying His presence. That's what your imagination is. That is worshiping God. That's what you should be doing in your quiet time. That's what you should be even doing sometimes in church. Just picture yourself in the presence of God and all the beauty and the wonder and the glory of it. Oh, hallelujah. You see, some people just come, well, I want to get this over with. I'll be glad when the singing's over. I'll be glad when the preacher quits preaching. Forget it. I'm not done yet. And the other part is, and the other part is that you know, you can do that, and I'm glad when I'm out of here, and I'm going to do what I want to do. I won't ask for a show of hands. Now, you see, you've missed the whole thing, the whole purpose. You might as well have stayed home. We got to keep letting God work through us. Don't expect God to do it all. I always say the Christian life's like dating God. You just want to be with Him all the time. Hallelujah. You can't wait. Yeah, you go to work, but you can't wait till you get off and at least make a phone call. You know what I mean? To that one you love. Hallelujah. And it's like coming to church like coming and meeting the one you love. Hallelujah. What a time. You can sing to Him. You can hear His word. It is absolutely wonderful, you see. Dream about it and then do it. Dream about the things of God and then do it. Dream about God working through you and then do it. Dream about that person you're going to lay hands on and pray for healing and then do it. Dream about it first. See God reaching through you to that person, and your hand is like putting His hand on that person. That's using your imagination in the things of God. Some people say, you know, I just don't sense the love of God. You will if you start using your imagination and putting yourself in that place, you see. I always ask God to go before me everything. I ask Him to go before me when I go to Walmart. I don't know who I'm going to meet in there that I might be able to pray for or do something. It isn't because I'm a pastor, because I'm a child of God. You see, so everything I do, every time I get in my car, I pray God go before me. I see the angels, I do that whole thing. And I tell you, it's a lot more enjoyable to do that, you see. And so we need to see ourselves at the throne of God, talking to God. You say, well, I never heard of such a thing. How do you think artists paint pictures? They see that picture before they ever paint it in their imagination. How do you think an inventor invents something? He sees that thing working in his imagination. How do you think people build things? They see it built. They have a model of it, but if they have a model, they don't have to use their imagination. There it is. But if they don't, you're going to see that building up there before you ever get one nail in something. Are you listening to me? We do our whole life that way, whether it's good or bad. That's the way we do. We're saying we're going to go visit Aunt so-and-so. We see ourselves there, seeing her, greeting her. You just do that automatically. Well, we need to start seeing God working in our life the same way. You understand? And so in your imagination, you can put yourself someplace else. I can see myself visiting my sister down in Missouri. I can see her house. I can see the kitchen. I can see everything about her. And I can see myself sitting there and enjoying a conversation with her. How about God? Sometimes we shrink back when we start thinking about God. Oh, wait a minute. I don't know if God wanted to talk to me. He is love. He is love. Why wouldn't he want to talk to you? He definitely wants to talk to you. Every artist, every musician hears the music before they ever play it. Just say I was going to have a surprise birthday party for my wife. You know, I'd see that thing in my mind, in my imagination before I ever did it. I'd get the ideas of what I want to do. I'd imagine them, what she would like, and what could be a surprise, and certain things. And I would see that before I ever got involved in it. We have to start seeing the things of God in our life before we do them. And I am about ready to finish. Now, so, you need to use this for good. You need to use your imagination. That's what it's there for. It's a gift of God. And quit using it for the enemy and start using it for the Lord. I tell you, there's some people working for a one-world government, and I'm going to tell you this, they see it in their imagination right now. They see it. They dream it. They walk in it. They live it. They eat it. They sleep it. Because that's what they're trying to do. And that's their purpose in life. Now, Noah saw a boat before he ever started building. Noah saw that ark before he ever... God showed him that in his imagination before he ever put one piece of wood together. Abraham saw the promised land before he arrived. When David went out to battle, he saw him victorious in the battle before it ever started. He didn't see him out there dead on the battlefield. He didn't say, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. I might get hurt. He saw himself victorious in Jesus Christ. He saw himself holding up the banner, hallelujah, in victory. He saw this when Joshua saw Jericho's walls falling down before he ever started praying, because God said, I'm the victory. I want you to look in Acts 2:17. People read that. I don't know who they think it's for. I've read it myself and didn't think it was for me, but not anymore. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 15. This is Peter preaching, and here's what he said. For these are not drunk as you suppose, but seeing it's but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, fire and blood and vapor and smoke, and sun's going to be turned to darkness. Why do you think God was giving them that stuff? So they would see themselves in it. God wants us to see it, wants us to see ourselves in the Word of God. You see, it doesn't mean you daydream all the time and run into a post. It's not that kind of a deal. But what it is you keep when you at the right time, not when you're driving, but at the right time, do that. Let's say this together. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters, nieces and nephews shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Hallelujah! That was not too exciting. Hallelujah! Amen. I'm getting excited about this. I'm getting motivated. My attitude's getting better. Hallelujah. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. And it's a wonderful ride. In Jesus' name. You see, that's the way we're supposed to be living life. You look at the tragedy and pray for it, and then you look at Jesus and say, hallelujah. Not for the tragedy, but what God's going to do in your life. You start seeing, I don't care what age, I ought to be dreaming and dreaming and dreaming, I tell you that. And I ask God for dreams of His. I really do. I ask for these things. They're mine, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Because He proclaimed it to be so. And you see, He's going to take your imagination. Imagination is called the eyes of your soul. Are you listening? The eyes of your soul. You can get excited about this thing. Why aren't you excited about life? Because you don't know Christ. I didn't say you weren't saved. I said you don't know Him. You got to start dreaming about Him. You got to start thinking about Him. You got to start dreaming about the Word of God and putting yourself in that place and coming at the end when the Apostle Paul said, I've run the race and finished the course, hallelujah. I see myself there, not because I'm a preacher, but because I want everything God has. You see, there's something to get excited about. I'm going to get so excited, I'm not going to end up in a nursing home. I'll drop over preaching Jesus, hallelujah. And be with Him before I hit the floor. You see. What is this life about? You see. It's about knowing Jesus. Well, I'm going to quit there. I'm not through yet with the soul. We're still working on it. But you got to take care of your imagination. You got to take care of what you're dreaming about. You got to take care of what your motivation in life is. You have to know where you came from. Well, you know, it doesn't motivate me very much to think I came from green slime that crawled out of the ocean, turned into a monkey, I mean, give me a break. I mean, that is insane. But that's what people come up with without God. Can you imagine the Pharaoh of Egypt bowing down to a beetle? And I'm not talking about the car. Can you imagine such stuff? He had no clue about what life is about. You can know more than Pharaoh. You can know more than the President of the United States. You can know more than the head of the United Nations if you know where you came from and you know where you're going. Are you listening to me? Let's start dreaming the dreams of God. Let's start dreaming the things of God. Let's start getting excited about the things of God. God, fill me with your love. Hallelujah. I want to love people like you do. You see. Let's stand before the Lord.